Good morning. Good morning, Sunday. Good morning to you on a Sunday. And it's, what time is it? It's 20 to 11. And this is a bit of an experiment for you. It's a little gift. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to do what I'm about to do anyway. And rather than just do it privately and, entirely and only to myself, I'm going to record myself doing what I would have done anyway. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a Sunday morning newsletter that comes in every week from a guy in Boston or near Boston or just the outskirts of Boston in the United States called Chris Brogan. And so this is a little bit of a thinking out loud or voicing out loud as I read down through Chris Brogan. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to find where on earth the Chris Brogan email is, and it's here. And on the 17th of November, it's called Invitation Isn't Only for Steve Jobs. So what on earth do I think? Hold on one second, I got to pause. Okay, a bit of normal life intervened, and I was called upon to wrap a birthday present for a party that my daughter's going to at 11 o'clock. So now, back to the Chris Brogan email. I go and I'm ready now. Now, the first thing I want to check is on this email, which is Innovation Isn't Only for Steve Jobs, is how long is it to see how much of it I'm likely to get read in one session. So, it's a long one, right? Yeah, it's one of his longer ones, right? And it goes all the way down to here to the end. So it's got, and it's got a PS as well. And he's, oh my God, he ends at the very end of the whole email, the whole newsletter, saying, know any non-profit organizations who might be able to use this service? Well, I tell you what, I have a big thing in my mind right now about a particular non-profit organization based in Ireland, based in Cork, called Mehel Mara, M-E-I-T-H-E-A-L-M-A-R-A. And for all sorts of reasons, I'm interested in helping that organization, although that organization has no idea that I actually have it as an intention to help it. So this is a long Brogan email. So there's no way I'm going to get further than, in that sense, more than the first couple of paragraphs. I mean, that would be me. You know, the old, how do you eat the elephant? Yeah, this is definite bite-sized chunk. So I'll try a couple of paragraphs of Chris Brogan. Actually, I better declare an interest. Chris Brogan's a really good friend of mine. We've never met face-to-face, but of all the people who I haven't met face-to-face, well, certainly, says I, thinking of all the men that I haven't met face-to-face that I would, you know, give anything to meet face-to-face and look forward to and know that I will meet, Chris Brogan is, I think, number one. So there we are. I can't. So that, I better say that, you know, because otherwise... But I have no shares in his company, Human Business Works, and I have no financial affiliate relationship with him or even an affinity relationship with him. So anyway, that's enough of the, the declaration of interest. It begins with something that I can relate to. The very first thing is a quotation marks, but I'm just the little guy. And when I saw that, which I caught out of the side of my eye a few minutes ago, I thought, well, okay, I can read this because I'm not just the little guy. It's true. It fits me personally. I've worked in a couple of big corporates and I've worked for a number of other big corporates. But when I set up my own first business in 1998, it was as a micro sole trader. In other words, it was never only me, but it really was. In fact, it was always me and nearly always me and a collaborator. Because I do my best work with another person collaborating with me. You wouldn't believe how hopeless I am if I have to do it entirely by myself. Also, you really wouldn't want to know how I feel about doing pieces of work where I feel kind of alone and isolated and, you know, have total ownership of the responsibility of success. You know, it really, I'm not a... That emotional state is not something you want to see too often in another person. Okay, but I'm just the little guy. Someone will tell me. Now, I'm not going to read Chris's words, but I want to really talk about the effect it's having on me. So my very first thing is identification, really. Empathy. I am a little guy, but I'm not just a little guy. That I think would, I think that's a, where did he get that bloody phrase? I mean, this is why I admire him so much. Sometimes I say to myself, I wonder if Chris realizes quite how extraordinarily brilliant a little phrase like that is. I mean, it wouldn't have been anything. It would be totally irrelevant if it said, you know, I'm the little guy. I might have said, well, so am I. But it's the word just. I mean, there it is. It totally transforms everything, doesn't it? Okay, let me read on for a second, and I won't read out loud. I'll just, while I drink the cup of tea. By the way, it's organic green tea, coming from a company called Clipper. And that's a registered trademark, and their strap line is naturally. Hold on.
Yes!
Okay, this is real life, I suppose, in action. That was a request that I find the exact location of a place called Chocolate Factory. The Chocolate Factory is a place, by the way, that kids can kind of play with chocolate. I think they can kind of heat chocolate up, melt it, turn it into shapes. I don't know, but my daughter has gone off to a birthday party there a minute ago. And anyway, I had to find directions so that the two of them could catch up with being a bit late. Okay, here we are, right. But I'm just the little guy, so Chris says, okay, people use that as an excuse, the word just as an excuse, you know. And he says, well, you know someone like that, don't you, Paul? Well, actually, who do I know that says, look, I'm just a little business, and I can't achieve much, or I can't be much can't be expected of me. Do you know, to be truthful, I can't think of anybody. I can think of plenty of people, individuals who will say to, you know, when I say something to them about them, they say, well, look, you know, I'm just me, or I'm just a, you know, I'm just a real estate manager, or I'm just a, I'm just a quality assurance manager. I'm just a, you know, I'm just a taxi driver. I'm just a bus driver. I'm just a, you know, road sweeper. I'm just this. I'm just that. I know plenty of people like that. But I think when it comes to business that I probably don't follow up on people in business who say about their business, but we're just a small business, you know, meaning that you can't expect the same standards out of us. I think I kind of, more than I think, I actually gravitate away from people like that. Not because I don't think they're wonderful individual people, but it's just I haven't got time to spend time with people who, in business, whose natural starting point is to put themselves down. Okay. Oh, do you know what? Actually, I misread Chris Brogan. When I read this morning the phrase by Chris saying, but I'm just the little guy, do you know what I read? This will show me how much do I actually read what somebody else says. I read, but I'm not just the little guy. So my great enthusiasm for what Chris Brogan had written in the very first paragraph of his newsletter was based on a mistake by me that I've just corrected, which is that I read, I'm just the little guy, I read that as, but I'm not just the little guy, which of course is totally different. Okay, Chris says, as he always does at the start of his emails, you know, he then says, well, where is this guy? Because that's one of the things. People, no matter what topic you raise with them, they have a sort of unexpressed curiosity that they might not even get a chance to address. Like, they might, you might start talking to them about how they got on their last business meeting, but what you're really curious about is, well, actually, did they sleep okay last night, and are they still getting on okay with their partner? You know, and where are they actually going to go this to spend, you know, New Year this year or whatever? But that curiosity doesn't get addressed. So with Chris, I'm thinking, well, look, here I am drinking organic green tea, and I'm saying to myself before I ever opened him, I wonder what Chris is drinking today, and he's actually drinking black tea Merlot. And he's saying it tastes a bit like red wine. Now, there's a company called Vintage Tea Works. Hang on a second. Chris is having a glass of Vintage Tea Works. His own business is called Human Business Works. Has he set up a sub-brand of Human Business Works called Vintage Tea Works? Or has he... What's going on here? I mean, it is a bizarre coincidence that Human Business Works should be actually drinking, although Human Business Works isn't a person, it's a big name of a business, but the guy who fronts, I mean, there are two of them who front Human Business Works, Rob Hatch and Chris Brogan, and, you know, whatever chance Human Business Works has of being known over here in Ireland, you know, it's Chris Brogan's name that carries it. Rather, I mean, Rob Hatch is a secret, and Rob Hatch is a special secret, and if Rob Hatch is listening to this, you know, it's quite a good thing to have. I mean, I got a secret in my business. It's called Jonathan Am. Hardly anybody ever heard of him. But, and Rob Hatch is, you know, maybe very well known, and probably is very well known in certain circles in North America. But I say this with great fondness for who I've never had a meeting with. But Rob Hatch is a good guy as far as I'm concerned, number one, because he works with Chris Brogan, and Chris Brogan works with him, and anybody who does that is good in my eyes. But the other thing is, Rob has his own individual newsletter, and that's relevant too. I better check to see if I've got much time left. Oh, I do. Right, back, carrying on here with this. I had the experience yesterday of having a recording cut off because I didn't notice it was coming to the end. Right, okay, Chris is drinking that particular black tea Merlot, and I have, you know. Then he tells us that Jacqueline, Jack, JACQ, turned him onto it. Now, Jacqueline has just had a tremendous success during the week or last weekend, in which she won the number one award, I think I'll call it, actually, in popular language, for bodybuilding. You know, she went through hell. It looked to me like hell, but of course you get loads of adrenaline if you go on these, you go to the gym and do all that sort of stuff. But she actually was on a program to enter the competition, and she won. You know, and this is from somebody who was once an opera singer, so... Actually, when I say that, I better correct it. I don't think she was ever a big, enormous opera singer, but she's got a trained voice anyway, which I never heard sing. That's another story. Okay, back to the issue, Chris says. Back to people worrying that they're too little. This is the only bit I'm going to stop after this bit, by the way. You know, this paragraph is the last one I'm going to include in this audio. He mentions two people, who I've never heard of, who've written two definitive works on innovation, right? So, you know, two people have written definitive works on innovation. Well, that has a huge interest to me because I know a number of people. I know a number of people who are innovators. I also know a number of people whose job it is to spur others to be more innovative. And I know one shitload of people who are dependent on other people being innovative. So I've got loads and loads of connections with the word innovation. It kind of presses a bit of a button. That is when I don't call it a cliche. And just while I'm on a roll in that relationship, define innovation. Well, the best definition of innovation I ever came across, it's got two words in it. It's called not copying. Not copying. And that comes out of Fran. I can't pronounce his second name because I always think of him as Fran. But in case, El Bulli, ELBULLI, I think it is. El Bulli was once the greatest restaurant in the world by acclaim. Obviously, people would have different opinions, but anyway, it was north of Barcelona. Anyway, that's another story, but I'm reminded of their wonderful, wonderful definition of innovation, not copying. That spurs me on. Okay, in the book written by these two guys, who Chris seems to know in some way, you'll find a mixture of, you know, big ideas, right, big lofty type of ideas. Okay, fair enough. I'd expect that in a book on innovation. I'd expect lofty type of ideas. But also many practical thoughts and ideas on how anyone should look at innovation. Well, actually, he says how anyone could look at innovation, how anyone should look at innovation. But what he doesn't say, which rather takes me aback, and I think he actually meant to say this. I think Chris meant to say this. Practical thoughts and ideas how anyone could be innovative, not just look at it. I mean, if it's just looking and thinking about innovation. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's about mindset. So how you look at innovation is about mindset, isn't it? And in fact, you could argue legitimately, I think, make a good case for saying without an innovative mindset, you can't actually do anything innovative except by accident. And that's not the same as being innovative. Anyway, you can see how I tie myself up in knots on a Sunday morning at 11:02 while reading from Chris Brogan. And then the last line, this is the last one I'm going to quote, and I'll quote this. The thing is, you don't have to be Steve Jobs to be thinking of innovation. Okay, that's just the intro, right? The question then at this stage in the reading of anybody's newsletter is, so am I hooked or not? I mean, in terms of all the other things I have to do, like clean up this kitchen, and on the one hand, it's not urgent. You know, I can park stuff about innovation until tomorrow. I don't want to read any more about innovation on Sunday morning. I'd like an innovative way of getting my kitchen from the state it's in right now to the state I want it to be in. That's another story. But that innovation probably requires me. There's nothing innovative about that. I mean, millions of people have addressed the same issue. So therefore it isn't a problem, which is in itself. Well, I suppose you could say innovation grows out of people looking at something which they've previously taken for granted and converting it into something that is problematic. And then, while loads of other people are thinking it's non-problematic, they think it is problematic and come up with a solution for something which nobody else has identified, or very few people have identified, as even problematic. That's one tiny collection of words on that topic. So look, there you are. That's Chris Brogan. His weekly newsletter is fantastic, and I think I've run out of time. Oh, good. I haven't run out of time, but I've certainly run out of trespassing on your attention any longer. This has been, nearly 18 minutes on the process of reading two paragraphs or three paragraphs from a guy's email. So, you think, what are you doing, Paul? You're absolutely crazy doing stuff like this. But the only reason I do it is that I already have proven experience that ideas out of Chris Brogan are worth considering. You know, even if you've got a kitchen, that's a higher priority in the short run. Bye for now. Bye. Good morning, Chris. When you wake up, it'll be. In fact, you're probably awake already. It's 6:05 in Boston. I'll probably send you this as a comment back on your email. But anyway, it's public. It's public for better or worse. All the best. Have a very good Sunday. Bye bye.